All right, we're continue our class on study of the eldership, the qualifications, and I think we have pretty well got through everything, but kind of wanted to finish up on character and habits of an elder. And then one of the most important things is the last part we'll try to look at today, hopefully we'll get to it today, is apt to teach or able to teach, and we'll kind of get into that. But I kind of wanted to look at the, if there's no questions over anything concerning domestic, concerning their quality, their experience, their domestic relations or their family relations, we're going to continue on into the character. And we've touched on about all these that we're going to look at today, and on the character and on the habits. And kind of, as I said, we kind of divided it into like six or seven categories on each one of these qualifications, so we can understand those things. As we look in the book of Timothy, and also 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 3, or Titus 1, we kind of see some things that the elder should be, and the things that the elder should not be. So the negative and the positive of what an elder should be or should not be. And the first thing I wanted to look at was the negative traits that would be not want found in a man that is desiring the office of an eldership. And the first one, as we look here in 1 Timothy 3, and beginning in verse, 1 Timothy, let me get to that, instead of 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy there, it says, as he talks about in verse 2, it says, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. But then here in the third verse, it says, not addicted to much wine or not a drinker. Kind of what it's talking about here is, and this kind of goes into the habits also. So we'll look at not giving to wine as we get into the habits. But it says not pugnacious, or what would be another word for that?
Brawler,
striker. Is that so? What he says here in his third verse, he says, but he said, then he goes over and says what he should be, but we're going to look at what he should not be before we get to those things. It says, not a striker, not one that is self-willed, as we see over here in Titus, the first chapter. He talks about, as we're comparing these qualifications from Timothy and Titus here, look over there in the first chapter of Titus, and kind of keep your finger there in the third chapter of Timothy. And so we'll be going back and forth here. As we look to the seventh verse there in the first chapter of Titus, he goes and says he must be above reproach as God's steward, okay, not self-willed. Okay, as we think about self-will, what would be one that is self-willed?
Have to have his own way.
His own way. He's not going to compromise. When you have, say, the board of elders or the meeting of the elders, say there's three, four elders, and this one elder says, no, I'm not doing it. It's going to be this way. Or he could say, as long as I'm the elder here, we're not doing that. And I'm not talking about ones that's doctrinal things. I'm talking about things that may help the congregation or may not help the congregation. But it's things that it's my way or we're not doing it. So that's kind of the way I look at it, self-willed. It's going to be my way. I'm not compromising.
Elders agreed that, you know, we need to do the meeting house, to do the painting in here. They all agreed upon a color or texture or something, except this one. And when they come to services the next time, it was painted all a different color because he was self-willed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let them tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm a stubborn guy.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go back through his past history, you'll probably find that from different people.
Yeah.
And they'll see that. So that's something that you want, a man that is going away both sides. Okay, I want Rich's opinion on this. I want Austin's opinion on this. I want to weigh what people think about, like he just said, talk about painting, which me, I could care less what color is painted. But but that's what I'm saying. And maybe the elders would say, oh, we don't want to decide that. Let's let the women decide what collar they want. You know, something like that. something that doesn't mean anything as far as building up the congregation or exhorting the congregation or admonishing the congregation. It's something that it's the meeting house, it's where we come to meet. So things like that. But when it comes to doctrinal things, then yes, we're not going to allow this because the Bible does not teach it. It doesn't say, thus says the Lord. It doesn't say that. There's no way nowhere in the New Testament says it. Or someone says, hey, why don't we're not meeting here, so why don't we bring instruments in for a get-together or something? Well, no, we're not going to do that. The meeting house is for that. It's to meet for the worshiping of God. It's our place that we come together, that we've designated that everyone can come together. You know, things like that. And we're going to agree, the elders are going to agree upon that, you know, because it's a doctrinal thing.
It's kind of funny, like this morning, as we barely made it, a little bit late. But, you know, different things happen, and it's just hard to make everything work. So anyway, she's eating on a banana. I said, you have to go ahead and finish it, because you can't go in the meeting house eating a banana. And, you know, you laugh about it in a way, and that's what the Bible's talking about. It's not a place to eat and to drink. It's a place of worship.
Exactly. And it's not something you can compromise on.
No.
This is what we do. And so an elder that is self-willed, he's not going to let, or a man that's self-willed, you should not consider him to be an elder because of his past history. Then you go on and he talks a little bit there. I told you to hold your fingers there, and I'd moved mine. There in Titus there in the 7th verse, it says, not self-willed, not quick-tempered. When you think of someone as quick-tempered, does he fly off the handle on anything? Does he get mad over little things? A lot of times he gets mad over things that don't mean anything. And that could be, go back to that self-will. I don't get my way, then he's mad. And a lot of times you get to the point where they're trying to pick sides. Hey, are you going to be on my side? You know, kind of go throughout the congregation trying to get people to be on his side or whatever the case may be. So that's something you don't want as an elder. You don't want a man that has that, this quick-tempered, that gets angry over things that does not matter within the congregation. Then he goes on, he says, not pugnacious, okay, not a striker. And when you think of a striker, what is a striker? Or one that's pugnacious?
Yeah.
Yeah, a quarrel.
Always stirring the pot.
Exactly. Always, and it always goes back to me. I always go back to where Paul talks to Timothy and tells him, don't argue over genealogies. Don't argue over philosophy things. Things that don't matter. Don't argue over those things. They're not. It's not worth it. And that, like you said, it goes back, picks a fight with somebody. Just because they like to argue, just like because they like stirring pot, basically, I think it's the best thing. Keep things stirred up. If things have been happened in the congregation and people have done things they should not have done, but they've repented of it, you don't go back and keep bringing it back up. They've been forgiven. They've repented. So, you know, yeah, go ahead.
The preacher say, when you talk about burying the hatchet, you don't leave the handle out.
Exactly.
Back up.
Yeah, exactly. You don't keep bringing it back up. Or another way to look at it is, I remember when you did this. Keeps bringing that thing back up. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Involved in something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Once you're baptized, all that work.
It's washed away, yeah. And even as a Christian, once you've repented of it, it's forgotten. We're not to bring it back up again. So that's the type of man that would bring that up and keep stirring, trying to keep trouble in the congregation. And then he says, goes on there in that 7th verse, he says, not fond of sordid gain or filthy lucre. What does that mean?
Basically, like getting the office because you're going to get paid.
Yes, well, and I think it even goes... Exactly. And I think it goes even further than that. You see that, let's just say, for instance, you're a contractor. And you do residential work. I'm going to get in because look at all these people that I might be able to get jobs from and do work for them. and gain money from it. I'm going to get gain by becoming an elder. Not because I want to be an elder because of the love for the church, but I see money. I see dollar signs. When I see people, I see dollar signs. I'm just saying that if you're, say you're a residential contractor, do handyman work, stuff like that. Yeah, oh, hey, I can get money from him, her, this family here, you know. That's what, and that's in his mind. Not in his mind that what's the best for the church. How am I going to, I love the church. I love the Lord's body. I want to help it grow throughout the period that I'm here. So that's what I think of it when I think of
food. Together, remember, really.
Yes, right.
But like the Lord said, be satisfied with food and rain.
Right. Well, and if you remember a few months back, Caleb Eldridge done a lesson over the qualification of the elder, and he basically brought down, it's our qualifications. Christians.
Yeah.
It's our qualifications also. So that's what type of people, that's the negative part that you don't want. You don't want to consider that man for that office, either man for elder or deacon, if you get right down to it. The deacon, you don't want a deacon that has that same attitude either.
Well, for that, even if I'm here, you got that.
Right.
Need to be
exactly, exactly. And then he goes on there, it says, then he starts and talks about the things that are positive that you want to look for in the man. And like I said, we've went over all these things, kind of touched on each one of these as we went through the qualifications of the elder, far as his reputation, his past experiences, and as the world looks at this man. So we've kind of went over a lot of these things. So as you look at these, think about the outside world too. Are they going to be thinking the same thing of this individual? And like we talked about, we would go out and talk to people he deals with, business-wise, work-wise, relationships in the neighborhood, or relationships as a ball coach or a teacher or whatever it may be in his field. How does he act? Well, these positive traits, says hospitable. When you think of hospitable, what? And remember back in this time when he's writing this, hospitable would mean
ask them into your house and maybe offer them a cup of coffee or breakfast. I know Brother Ford years ago, when somebody come, well, Sister Ford always had some dried beef, and she made dried beef gravy. You know? And it's not a big thing, but it's...
Well, and that's kind of... And every time, there would be people traveling from place to place. They'd offer up their home if they needed it. Same way with even today. Usually today, you don't. Everybody has. There's some place to stay. Now, if you got somebody traveling that cannot afford to, and they stop by for help, well, yeah, you may buy a hotel room, or you may offer them in your home, or you may offer them, take them out for lunch, or whatever it may be that they need. You know, and we as a congregation has done that several times, and each of us individuals has probably done that several times, and so that's kind of what. Willing to help. Whenever the need arises, willing to help. And if the need isn't asked, see the need and help.
And strangers know that. They know to come to the churches sometime,
yeah.
Where people will be generous and help them out or something.
Yeah. And a lot of times, these people are sincere and honest people, and they desire need really need help. But then you have the other end of the spectrum, too. One says, oh, hey, I can pray upon them because... they're generous. And we've had both happen here. But I mean, our attitude is we're hospitable, we're going to help more we can. And that's the same way the manager considering to be an elder should be the same way. Somebody within a congregation needs help. First one to rise up and say, hey, what can I do to help you out? That's the kind of experience that you're looking for. That's the kind of character you're looking for. That's the kind of habit you're looking for. Then you go on down to... he talks about, he said, loving what is good. And King James says loving good men, the lover of good men. So if you look in the Greek, it's loving what is good. So as you think about, has Paul ever talked about anything we as Christians should think about?
He mentions a whole lot of things, and whatsoever is good, think on these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is that at, Gene? Do you remember that? It's not me. You might since you talked to Philippians 4. Yeah, he talks about what is good. Dwell on them things. And that's what this man's going to do. And as Paul was talking to the Philippians, he meant for the Philippians to do the same thing. What is good, you're going to dwell upon it. Why would you dwell upon things that are good? What's that going to do for you? It builds that man up. And as a congregation looks out and looking for a man to be qualified for the elder, they're going to see the man that he's looking upon those things that are good. He's dwelling upon those things. Those things that are good and those things that are above. He's dwelling upon those things. So that's what he's talking about there. Then slip back over to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. We'll make sure as we go through, we don't miss anything as far as that. As you go back up to verse 2, he talks about, he says, temperate. We've kind of talked about it. What's temperate?
Moderation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He don't go overboard on certain things. He keeps everything kind of on a level keel. And he talks about prudent, a man that's prudent. What's a good word for prudent?
Watchful.
Yeah. If you think kind of vigilant, as you're looking for that, and that's kind of. But and as you think, and this that kind of deals into his habits also. But being vigilant, being prudent, being watchful—that's his character outside the church. And as you go back and look in his business dealings or his work, what's he doing? When he thinks about being vigilant, being watchful, is he being diligent? Yeah, he's being diligent in those things. He's keeping an eye out what's... And even go back to the house, managing the house. He's vigilant over the house. What's he vigilant over?
Everything.
He's keeping an eye on everything. So you want a man that is going to be vigilant over the congregation. Because I've seen his past, he's been vigilant over his business, or over his business dealings, or where he's at work at, his family. He's vigilant on watching what may happen. What did Ezekiel say about the watchman? What did the Lord tell Ezekiel, I should say? He said, you're the watchman. If you don't warn him, he said, what's he going to happen if you don't warn him?
Blood's going to be on your shoulders.
Yeah. But if you do watch and you warn him, and they don't take heed to it, the blood's on their own head. It's their own fault. But you've got...
Isn't that what each one of us is supposed to do? Be that helpful.
Yeah. Be that helpful, be that watchful, be that vigilant, be diligent in those things. And then we flip back over to Titus, and as we continue on verse 8, he says, what is good, loving what is good, he's sensible. In other words, he's going to make good decisions, right? When you think about sensible, what's another word for sensible there in the NIV? What do they put down? Self-control?
Sober.
Sober? Pardon me?
Sober-minded.
Sober-minded. So he's got a clear head.
And you're serious.
Exactly. Exactly. You have a main goal in your mind. What you're about to do. Or as an elder, you have, this man is being considered as an elder. He's sober, he's vigilant, he's looking ahead. Correct?
Yet the word temperate in there, and you know the blacksmith, and I grew up with a blacksmith, and they got that fire in there, and they're trying to get that piece bent and everything. And they have to keep the temperature right. You can't get it over fire or take away the temper. It has to be there that it can plow the soil and it'll last for a long time. Used to be the blacksmith did all of that. Now you buy new points and everything and new moldboards and things like that. But the blacksmith back then, he had to be temperate and everything. That's what he was for the community, and everybody expected him.
That kind of goes along with patience. Goes along with that. He's patient. He don't want everything don't have to be right now. He's patient. And expecting, say, he's been talking to one that is not a Christian. He's not pushing. He's being patient with one that is in that condition that he's been studying with or talking with. And he talks about just. What's an elder going to have to be? Is he going to be a judge? Pardon me? Yeah, he's going to be a judge. He's going to make just decisions. Decisions that are right. And it is, and that's going to be considered among the elders. They're going to make that. They're going to make that judgment call. Is it going to be good for the congregation? What's good for this congregation may not be good for another congregation. But he don't have to worry about it because he's just going to be over one congregation. So he and the other elders have to make that good judgment. And he has to be able to compromise in those decisions that will help the congregation. So that kind of goes along with this man has this type of character throughout. And then he goes on down and he says he's devout, self-controlled. What is a devout father and a devout husband? What is his character like?
Devoted.
Well, what's he doing? As he's devoted. If you think about a devoted husband, a devoted father. What's his main pathway, main goal, main objective?
Welfare.
Exactly.
Physically
and spiritually. Okay, so if that's a father has to be that way, and you're talking about an elder here, a man to be considered for an elder, what's he thinking of? Yeah, the welfare of the congregation. He's going to be devoted to that welfare of that congregation for it to grow spiritually. That's his goal. That's his desire. He's wanting to keep pushing that. But what, as we go back to when we first started, how's he going to show the people that he's considered of their welfare as a congregation?
Looking back at his past.
Well, and he's going to be setting a good example. He's not going to be saying, the elders say, I want you guys to do this, but they don't do it.
Basically, you've got to be a good manager.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. One that manages everything. Not only his own household, but he helps with the other elders. They manage the congregation well. And they think of the welfare of the congregation is first. And not so much maybe physical, but they're spiritual. That's the main goal. The spirituality. And as you go, and we talk a little bit about self-control, so we know what he's to be. He'd be able to control himself under any circumstances, whatever circumstances may be. I mean, some things may anger him, or should I say not anger, but should bother him worse than other things. That's the reason you have elders, because one may bother one elder more than the other, and the other one say, hey, we need to look at it this way. So that's kind of what I see as self-control. It's the man is self-controlled. He can sit down and discuss the problems. If there's problems, discuss them. What is the best way to eliminate these problems? Or what's the best way to stop the problems from even starting?
Sit down at the table rather than get your sword out and fight. You know, we've learned that as far as world wars and everything. It's a lot cheaper and everything to sit down and negotiate and talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And a good man that's being considered for an elder, he's going to do those things. He's not going to be quick to fight. He's not going to be like Peter, ready to pull his sword out and take his ear off. But he's going to sit back and say, okay, these things, let's consider these things. And it's the same way as he would consider his family. What's going to be advantage for my family to do this? Is it going to be an advantage for us to do this? Or is it going to be a disadvantage? And my mother always said, you write disadvantage, advantage, and then you list them. And then they'll usually tell you which way you should go. So that's the way we always do it. I mean, and that's the way this man is being considered to be an elder will do. He'll say, okay, what's going to be the best for a congregation, and what's not going to be the best for a congregation? Okay, so we went through all these. Is there any of these that you have questions about, that you don't understand that you have no problems with or have a problem with?
Oftentimes, an elder is someone you lift up to a higher level and expect him to do better and everything. And so an elder once said, or a preacher once said, I'll never drink root beer out of a dark glass again. Somebody saw him. They thought he was drinking beer. And the influence that it leads to others, whether or not you go into a tavern or something, you know, that's always a thing. But, you know, as you mentioned a little bit ago, or sometime, that a lot of these eating places, pizzas and stuff, just serve that. And so we have to be careful, you know.
Yeah, and look at the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians. What did Paul say about eating things that may offend others? He wouldn't eat it. And this, the man that is to be considered an elder, he should be the same way. Christians should be the same way.
And he said, you know, even if there's nothing wrong with it,
yeah,
it's going to make one stumble.
Yeah, if there's nothing, he said, I won't eat meat. And it could be anything. It's not necessarily have to be meat or the eating of vegetables only and things of this nature. It could be anything that would offend a brother or a sister. He said, I'm not going to do it.
He's shaping his character to be right before the congregation. And he's not going to do something that will be offensive.
Yeah, and a few years ago, and it may still be, they used to say, what would Jesus do? So the same thing you can kind of put in the, that man will have in his mind, would I do it if the Lord's sitting beside me? Would I do it if the Lord's riding with me? Would I, you know, things of this nature? Because he is. So that's the type of man he's going to be thinking those things. He said, I'm sitting, because Paul told him, said, imitate me as
he imitated Christ.
As he imitated Christ. So that means all of us, but also, as we're talking here in the class, that elder and his and under his qualifications, that's what he's going to be considering. I'm trying to set the example as the Lord said. I'm trying to imitate Paul as Paul imitated Christ. So that's the type of man that we're wanting as an elder, one that has those considerations, one that has that character, one that has those habits. Is there any questions over that? Any comments?
Inasmuch as we don't think so much about the wife playing a big part, and yet I believe a wife plays a big part in any preacher or official. They stand out tremendously. And you know, you wouldn't want to think that an elder's wife or anything would do something wrong. And yet some of them, and our society is accepting it, that anything of a homosexual nature is okay. And that's taboo, you know, just completely foreign from the truth.
Right.
Just like God thought about Sodom and Gomorrah and those other cities. They don't have a right to even live when you are like that. But it's being forced, in a sense, upon our society that you have to accept them.
Right. And you think of, and that was a good point, I wanted to bring that up, the elder's wife, you're going to also, she's going to have a part in this, whether you like it or not. I mean, she's going to have a part in, you're going to, and if not anything, but be a helpmeet. In other words, if you are doing, and I can, she don't like me using her example, but I'm going to. Sometimes you say, should you think that way? Should you say stuff like that? You know, that's things that, and that's every wife and every husband, they help each other.
That goes down into the next chapter.
Yeah, it goes in with the deacons. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and also on over into the second chapter. Yeah. Yeah. So, but she's going to be helping also in those things. Maybe not so much in the decision, but being your help me, in other words, helping you through things, because you're both heirs. Yeah. Exactly. And then I wanted to look at habits. We only got 5 minutes, so we may get through it and we may not. But there's only, and the kind of what only thing I put under habit was where it talks about, say, not giving too much wine or not addicted to much wine. If you go to the American Standard, it says no brawler. It doesn't talk about wine. Because translators there did, the wine is in the Greek, but it's not, they don't have much to say. It's just, in other words, what kind of the meaning you get from it, like fair and some of this, that it was one that was not given to it. Not a, I don't know if you want to say addicted, but yeah. In other words, not a free drinker. And then you can get into the subject, well, what wine was, what is wine? We don't, which that's another whole other subject.
Well, you got to think about, too, at that time, why did they drink wine?
Yeah, yeah. But you can also go back to Proverbs. It talks about what type of an individual, what wine does to an individual, what strong drink does to an individual. You don't think clearly. It takes away the clear thoughts. So that's something that he's not to be a free, more than what society accepts. And that, at that time, and in our time, is... what's, is he going to be controlled by it? And that's anything. Is he going to be controlled by anything?
That's why I like that verse 9.
Yeah. Yeah. There, Titus?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, and that's what I wanted to get to, unless someone had any questions over those things. The next one is apt to teach. And there's a good reason there is, and he gives the explanation why he's to be apt to teach, be ready to teach. And when one is that, before you even get into what he says, why? When you think of one as apt to teach, one is ready to teach, what has happened before then? Has he not studied? Has he not known the God's word? Even before he's been considered as a, to be an elder, does he know God? Does he know God's word? Does he know what it talks about? Can he defend it? Can he do what Jude said, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered? Can he do that? And if he can do that, then that means he's what? He's well-versed in the Bible. Is he going to know everything? No. But he's going to be go back to his character and his habit. Okay, hey, I'm going to go study this. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to give you an answer. Or you may go say, well, I'm going to write down some verses, or you ask a question, I'm going to write down some verses, and you read these verses. And then you tell me what it means. What do you think the Bible says concerning whatever your question is? And I'll study with you. And maybe both of us can learn. So that's the type of man that's going to be able to teach. He's going to be apt to teach. And when he's sitting out here in the audience and someone preaching, is he going to catch if someone says something that is doctrinally true? Yeah, the member should, but the elder should, because he's the watchman.
Is years ago, and we kind of forgot about it a little bit, but used to be two seats up at the, by the podium up there, and a person's up preaching, and the preacher or the elders would say amen. They were up there sanctioning what he was saying and everything. I don't know if you remember that, but that has been a thing in the past. And that still should be the thought and everything. And nothing should be said or done that isn't approved by what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And so an elder is that watchman there that warns the people. If something's said wrong, it needs to be corrected.
Right. And that's the responsibility of a man that was being considered as an elder, that he's able to do that. He's able to catch that as he's listening. And I remember, but that was in the Christian church. And it was back in the 60s and 70s. I remember, I didn't know what they were for. I just remember sitting up there. But evidently that's what it was for then, I guess. I didn't know that. But now, do we say amen to what's being taught? If we're in agreement with, if it's the truth, yeah, we're going to say amen. We're going to be in agreement with that. Same way with our prayers. We're in agreement with that prayer. Amen. We're in agreement with that song. Amen. So that's kind of what we're looking at. And then as we go on down into verse 9 there, he says, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he'll be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict those things. So that's why he's going to be apt to teach, ready to teach. He's going to be knowledgeable in the scriptures. He's not going to be, as 1 Timothy says, he's not going to be a novice. He's not going to be a new convert. There in 3rd chapter, verse 6, it says, not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. So he's going to have knowledge of the scriptures. He's going to have experience. His habits are going to be set. His character is going to be set. We're going to see that in the past 20 years or whatever it was that we have seen him and known him. Any questions? Any comments? Gene said he's taped all these, so you can go to the website and listen to them or download them, whatever you want to do. So everyone's good with qualifications of elders?
Good exercise to look at and think about, and even as a congregation here would be looking forward to that. Now it's up to us to make some decisions.
Right. It's up to men in this congregation that have that desire to look upon themselves. Am I able to take on that responsibility? Am I qualified? And if I want to be an elder, and you look at those qualifications and you're not quite there, what do I need to do to work on them so that I become that? Because, like I said, if that's your desire, if that's the desire to become an elder, I'm going to start working on those things. And we could go on down and read about the deacon, same way with the deacon. You want a desire to be a deacon? First of all, have I met those qualifications? And then if I have, and I want to be a deacon, I talk to the elders and say, I would like to be a deacon. And then we go from there. Same way with one that wants to be an elder. And up for the congregation, I'm desirous to be an elder. Because I've looked over my life and I believe that I qualify, but I also desire to do this. And then we go from there. So next week we'll revert back to where we was at a month or so ago, or however long it's been. I don't know how many weeks it's been, but I didn't keep track of those. I thought maybe I could do it in a couple of weeks, but I should have known better than that.
Good study.
Yeah, it's a good study, and it's a study that we can continue on in. Continue to look to those men that want to be an elder, those men that haven't considered it but are at that point where they could become one. And so we could always encourage them, things of that nature. Next week everybody revert back to their old class. We'll revert out here. I think I'm going to get with Sam, but I think we're going to do a little different out here and the class back there, the adult class back there too. So any questions, any comments? Everybody's happy? Everybody loves to be here? Yep, amen. There you go.
I think it's an example in the Old Testament when they were rebuilding the wall, making a place where they could worship and have safety and everything. And they said, we can't stop this work. It's the work of God, you know. And people try to tell you, well, you don't need that. You don't need that. Yeah, we need to do the best we can in the work of God.
Right.
And that's kind of what you're bringing out here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And that's amen to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's where the second chapter of Titus comes in.
Yes.
The top that's heading for the qualities of a sound church.
Right. And then you look on some, it says the duties of the older and younger. So everyone has a duty. And to make a sound congregation, everybody has to fulfill those duties. Yes, you need a leader to,
if possible.
Yeah. And if not, then you have men that come together and say, this is what we believe is best for the congregation.
That group of men needs to have these qualities.
Yeah.
Because they don't, they're
going to make some wrong decisions.
As a single
cattywampus. Yeah, or say, this is the way I think it should be. Instead of saying, okay, what's best for the congregation? For this congregation to remain sound. Yeah, it all needs to be, thus saith the Lord, in everything that we do. Okay, we'll close up there. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for your help in teaching this class. Hopefully you've learned quite a bit from it. I have, and I'll continue to learn.